What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Floating Roots podcast. I'm joined today by two members of the dope band Cigarette Blondes, Matt Desmond and Kyle. I don't know your last name.
Gray.
Kyle Gray. What's up, guys?
What's up? How you doing?
Cheers. Cheers. I asked Matt today before the podcast started if he wanted beer or wine, water, coffee. He said red wine. I was very, very stoked. Red wine's my move as well.
My second one would have been whiskey, but that wasn't on the list.
So. Yeah, whiskey would have been a bold move, and I think 30 minutes in, we might not have been in person.
Yeah, or it would have been a really good conversation.
That would have been really, it could have been really fucking awesome. I have another friend who's a musician. I don't know if you guys know Steven Areco. He's a local musician.
Actually, it's funny. I think I met that guy at, I met him at Ruby's once. And I think you introduced him to me, actually. You're like, hey, this guy's a keyboard player. And he gave me his number. Because I was going through my contacts the other day, and I saw, who the hell is this?
Yeah, like, who the fuck is Steven Areco?
Yeah.
I do remember that, actually. Yeah. And I think probably numerous times we all have seen each other out downtown.
Yeah.
I think being drunk downtown at music spots, mm-hmm. tend to fucking, shit gets blurred.
Yeah.
But I think, now that I think about it, I think I've seen both of you hanging out at the same time. Maybe not like super close.
Small area, you know.
But, dude, he actually just recently released his first single on YouTube, I think like last week, and it's really fucking good. I'd recommend you guys checking it out.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be cool if you guys could collab or something, maybe. I don't know. He's super fucking talented, for sure. But, yeah, dude, what have you guys been up to music-wise? What has life been looking like for the Cigarette Blondes?
Well, we're in the studio recording new music right now. We're about to release our third music video from our EP. It's coming out July 9th. Under Control is the name of the song in the video.
Nice.
And we're in the studio, like I said, turning out new tunes. So we're trying to keep busy.
Nice, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah. So they showed me some of the new shit they've been working on before this podcast started. Honestly, it's unfucking believable.
Thank you.
I genuinely, the first words that came to mind when I heard it was, I've never heard anything like this. It's genre bending in a way that I've never heard genres bended. It's stoked. I'm stoked to hear the rest of it, dude. It sounds really good, man. For sure.
Stoked to hear the rest of it too.
For sure, dude. For sure. So there's an EP coming out or just a single?
Singles for now.
Yeah. We'll keep that under wraps for now.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, we just have that one EP out right now. And like I said, we're just recording new music. That's as much as we're going to get.
Not
really announcing anything yet, but soon.
Good stuff, though. You guys are stoked about it? Excited?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Very.
Fuck yeah. Kyle, I don't know you that well. Matt and I have shot the shit for a while. We've known each other for a while. What instrument do you play in the band?
Guitar.
You're the guitarist.
I'm the guitarist.
Hell yeah. Is that your favorite instrument to play, or you sort of ended up doing that because the band needed a guitar player?
No, by far, guitarist at heart.
He was the flute player, and they were like, yo, dude, we really need you to switch to guitar.
Look, bro, you got talent, but that flute isn't working, man.
Right? Yeah, no, always play guitar.
Yeah.
We had been in previous bands playing, I always play guitar.
Yeah.
We all kind of morphed into this.
Yeah, we've been playing together for a while, actually, in different bands. For about like 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, me, Matt, and Brandon are bassists.
Yeah, so you three have known each other for four or 5 years.
Him and Brandon have known each other for much longer, since birth, right?
Yeah, our parents were best friends.
So they've been in bands since forever.
So we've known each other our entire lives. Yeah.
And then when did you come into the picture?
2013. Yeah, I was in a band that broke up, and they were in a band. They were on like a indie record label. I remember I got a call from one of my other friends who was in a band. He's like, hey, there's this band that's looking for a vocalist. And I knew who they were because I loved them. I thought they were fucking awesome.
But yeah, you
like,
knew them from school or something? Or?
No, not at all, because I didn't live in the same city as them.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about an hour and a half away from them.
Yeah.
But I played a show with them before, and I thought they were amazing. I thought they were the best band on stage.
Yeah.
And when my friend told me they were looking for a vocalist, I was like, yo, this is my chance.
Fuck
so
yeah.
I submitted a demo to them, and they invited me for a tryout, and then since then, like, we've been playing together, so.
Hell yeah, dude. That's,
here we are today.
That's awesome. And then there's a fourth member, no?
Yes,
there's five members.
Okay. The other two, who are they? Where are they at?
Daniel plays guitar, and Ian is the drummer.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And were they buddies as well?
Yeah,
or
actually, they are friends. Yeah, like, coincidentally, they are friends.
Yeah,
been
like
friends
me and
long.
Brandon have been friends. They're friends.
Okay, cool.
So. And Ian was an acquaintance of mine that I had known for a few years that I had lost contact with, but when we needed a drummer, I was like, I know this guy that drums, so
yeah,
we dragged him out with us and convinced him to join our band.
So what were you doing before you met them?
I was playing in various bands, not good ones.
Just getting your bearings, kind of.
Getting my sea legs, you know what I'm saying?
going through the struggles.
Yeah, going through the struggles. So, you know, just doing the same thing. I mean, less productive, but, you know, we got a great group of guys around us now, so.
Yeah. You guys all get along? Is the morale relatively
chill?
I think
we do.
Yeah.
I think we definitely get along now better than we ever have. I think, you know, we're kind of all, you know, like brothers in a sense. We've been working together for so long.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Success. I mean, you guys... I'm assuming you guys are expecting much more success than you guys currently have. But
no, we just want to go downhill from here. That's the goal, actually.
We're at the peak. I hope
yeah.
we don't get any better.
Destroy our careers. That's
right,
what we want.
Right.
We're already peaked.
Yeah.
No, but you guys have some slight success right now. I'm sure you guys are more ambitious than what's currently going on.
Of course.
How have you guys reacted to going from not having jack shit going on? Now you guys actually have fans. People actually care about your music. I'm sure you guys are selling some merch.
Right.
You know, how have you guys reacted?
I think, you know, as like an artist, like you always come out expecting, you want to expect that it's going to do well, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you put so much into it. So I wouldn't say, for me at least personally, it wasn't exactly like a surprise. And it's nice, you know, it's great, we love our fans and everything, but we want to keep pushing the envelope, we want to continue to do that, you know,
yeah.
continue to evolve and continue to push as far as we can, never being satisfied with, you know, with just that, and of course there's satisfaction and, you know, we love our fans and everything, but we want to keep, you know, bringing our music out and pushing the envelope as much as we can.
Yeah, like never settling,
right,
never
right.
getting stale.
You can't be complacent in any business, but especially one like, you know, like this, you know.
Right. Are you concerned that you might push the envelope too far? Like, your fans fall in love with one certain sound, one certain style. The shit I heard, I'm genuinely a big fan, but I'm a pretty open-minded dude,
right,
you know?
Right.
Are you concerned some people might be like, what the hell, we missed the old...
Yeah, there's definitely some concerns that have crossed my mind before. Mm. But ultimately, you can't let things like that hold you back as a musician, I think.
Sure.
At the end of the day, it's just making art.
Yeah,
true,
exactly.
True.
And I personally get really bored of bands that release the same record over and over again.
Yeah.
I like to see bands evolve. So for me, it's kind of like a natural progression to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure, you know, as there is with every artist, you know, that don't like the new music that comes out, you know, it happens.
Sure.
You know.
But it's... I like to think the artist naturally, genuinely... evolve, and I think it's a matter of taste in terms of the fans.
Of
you know, artists understand what they were doing. It's not like they were accidentally making good music.
Yeah, of course,
and then
yeah.
they go to a style that maybe not everybody likes. I don't think it's. I mean, especially I'm a pretty big hip hop fan. It happens a lot in hip hop where people get really into one style, and the rapper gets into something
right.
else, and the fans are like, well, "We missed the old
right.
Wiz Khalifa or whatever
right.
it was." I don't ever think it's. I think it's really rare that it's actually somebody falling off, and more so like they just
evolving,
went
right.
evolving.
And
yeah.
sometimes it works in the artist's favor, and sometimes it doesn't. One thing I really love about hip hop is, and I've kind of taken this philosophy from that genre of music, is they're not really afraid to try new things. You know,
yeah.
You listen to a lot of artists out there that are just, you know, genre bending. XXXTentacion
yeah.
is one that comes to mind.
Right.
Recipes.
Right.
You know. He's all over the map, and there's a lot of hip-hop artists out there that are like that now, and I think in our genre of music, whatever you want to call it, indie alternative, I feel like people are so, they limit themselves by sticking in these parameters of, I have to have, you know, four instruments in the
mm-hmm.
guitar, I have to have, you know, verse, chorus, and it has to sound a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and I think with our new music that we've been recording, we've definitely opened the gates a little more, and we've created... we've gotten rid of the boundaries.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've taken that philosophy from other styles of music and implemented it into our new stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely on paper, our bands should not work together to create the same
mm-hmm.
type of music.
And
we all have different music influences.
None of us listen to the same music.
None of us.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys all actually like
yeah.
get along as one band.
Yeah, we do.
If you looked at it on paper, you
yeah.
would not.
That's hilarious. What were you listening to mainly growing up? Like, did you have a specific genre throughout most
yeah,
of your life?
Yeah, I think, like, well, a lot of people I know, like me, I got into classic rock first, like Guns N' Roses, Queen, stuff
from
like
your
that.
Parents or
see, I grew up in like a really Christian, like conservative household. I was
yeah,
like,
me fucking too.
Yeah,
cheers to fucking.
I was homeschooled and I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music or watch secular movies and things like that. So I didn't really start getting into music at all until like 13 or 14.
Okay.
And classic rock, I started there. And then
through the internet, like YouTube and LimeWire.
Yeah. Well, we're using like iTunes,
sure.
LimeWire, Guitar World magazine is where I found a lot of my stuff because it was an easy way to hide what I was listening to. It's like, oh, mom, a guitar magazine. Can I get that?
Sure.
And skim through there, and then you know, iTunes, of course, and LimeWire.
Yeah, the 12-year-old little.
Or Spotify.
The games you gotta play as a 12-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last.fm.
Last.fm. Yeah.
For sure, that's some old school shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so classic rock. I mean. I don't know if I even hear really too much classical rock.
There's not. Yeah, there's definitely not. I mean, the evolution of like music that, I mean, my music taste has evolved so much. I mean, it started. Yeah, it started there for me. Classic rock. I think for you and Brandon too, started with classic rock, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad like Neil Young.
Yeah. Mm. And I think from there, in high school, I really took a hold on Nirvana.
Yeah.
Grunge bands like that, and then I got into like nu metal, like Slipknot and Korn. And then I got into heavier music, like hardcore and deathcore,
hard shit.
How I met them. And then, you know, I started getting into, you know, popular music, and that's kind of how the Cigarette Blondes transpired.
You went from, like, heavy metal shit
yeah.
to poppy.
Right. And now, yeah, mostly the music I listen to now, personally, I think it's just, like, R&B and hip-hop and pop. And,
really?
And indie, like, all over the place, really. I mean, I still like classic rock. I love bands like The Doors and The Beatles and things like
right,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then what about you? Like,
I listen to metal and like post rock stuff. So like
yeah.
Explosions in the Sky and stuff like that. Instrumental, just anything ambient.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
That's cool. I don't know if you guys are. I'm just gonna fucking plug my shit to you guys right now. I don't
yeah,
know if you guys
no,
are
yeah,
a
yeah,
fan
yeah.
of the blog I have, but it's genres all over the place. Like there's indie, alternative, rock, hip hop, R&B. It sounds like it's up your alley. I mean, I feel like you and I have a really similar vibe musically. I think you would fuck with the blog. You should check it out
for sure.
But yeah, dude, that's super cool. To me, it's funny how you guys all have different musical sounds, different musical tastes, get together as a band. I don't think I really heard that in your previous music, honestly.
Yeah.
Hearing what you just showed me before the podcast,
right.
It makes a lot more sense, you saying that.
Right.
It's all over the place.
Yeah,
like
right.
I don't want to expose too much of it, but I just heard like 17 influences in one smoothie. You know, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's
that
cool.
Just goes back to what we said about our mom.
Yeah.
For sure. Fuck yeah. How much live performance are you guys doing nowadays?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, we haven't done too many shows. We've done two or three. We did our music video shoot for Friday Nights for Lovers, which was a private show.
Mm-hmm.
We did an EP release show in December. And then we played one show at Janus about a month ago.
You guys played at Janus.
Janus Live.
For people who don't know, Janus is, I'd say, the biggest venue in the area. Who were you guys opening for somebody, or?
It was like a festival. There was a bunch of bands there. We were one of the headliners there, and it was a really great show. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool experience.
Do you guys like performing? Like, it's
oh, of course. We love it. We just... we want to get out on the road and tour bad. We really do.
Yeah.
It was just we've been focusing on recording so much, and it's definitely something that we want to do. Hopefully, either by the end of this year or the beginning of 2019.
Yeah.
We really want to get on the road and see all of our fans and play for them and stuff.
For sure. I don't remember if I was talking to Brandon or you, or I know that you guys have a fuckload of fans in Australia and the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? How did that happen?
I think a sound thing.
Yeah, I think, the songs in the EP,
right.
Those songs were written in like 2015, so they're kind of old for us. We didn't release the EP until just last December.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the music, before we started this band, I had these songs kind of written, and I had it on acoustic guitar, and I brought them to the band, so they were kind of already fleshed out, you know. And I just at the time I was listening to primarily just like British rock music.
Okay.
And so that's where that influence comes from. And so I think most people probably think that we're an English band or Australian or something. My accent's really
yeah.
bad. You can hear it in the EP. Sometimes I sound Australian. Sometimes I sound it's pretty bad.
That's
but,
hilarious.
but yeah, I think like Kyle said, it's a sound thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of, you know, they like the kind of music
that inspired the shit that is
exactly,
older stuff.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are you... So do you wish you had more American fans, or?
It's less practical because we can't, touring, going to England would be, you know, expensive and hard for us, and we really want to. It'd be a lot more practical to tour the United States, but no, we love our fans in England.
Yeah, it's super cool.
We love our fans in Australia, New Zealand, everywhere, Ireland, but we definitely think with our new music it'll open the doors to an American audience more.
Yeah,
I think we definitely sound more American on the.
I think the stuff you guys have coming out is pretty universally likable. I don't think it's really tied down to any specific style.
Thank you
for sure. I'm stoked. I'm genuinely excited to hear it, man. Fuck, guys, how much? I want to ask this. I don't know if this is a.
Let's hear it. Give us your raunchiest questions.
How much? How into drinking are you guys? I know.
How into drinking are we?
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I'm definitely into drinking as well.
No, actually, I don't drink that much. I think it's been an issue for me in the past, so I probably drink maybe like once or twice a week now.
Yeah.
I'm on and off. You know, sometimes I'll go months without it. It just really depends.
How into partying? Like, well, did you have like a partying phase? You
oh,
feel
of
like
course,
you're,
yeah.
you're. Was it a?
I liked,
would you like to say it's like a phase you're growing past? Or
I'm like, Kyle, and I like to party.
I think I had like a partying phase, like, you know, 17, 18, 19. And I still like partying's fun, but it's more fun to do every once in a while when it's not completely fucking up your life, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
We're adults, right?
Yeah,
how old are you?
24.
25.
24 now?
24.
I thought you just turned 24, right? Yeah.
Shit. Yeah, man.
Being
adults, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, partying's fun, but you gotta have a reason to party, I think, now as an adult. You know, what are you celebrating? It's nice to do every once in a while. You know, as long as you have your shit together, because then in the morning you realize that, you know, your life is still fucked.
Totally.
You don't want that.
Totally. That's always a bad spot.
So if you're in a good situation, good spot, and you're stable, party, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been in a phase recently, like, I've been doing this Floating Roots shit, you know, this blogging. I love it. Like, it's giving me a lot of... I work, like a corporate job, cubicle, and it's fine. It's paying the bills. It's cool, but it's just really not fulfilling. And doing this, it's, like, giving me a sense of fulfillment. And I'm noticing with it, something that's come along with it is recognizing partying is something, I think you worded it really well, like you have to have something to party for.
Right, right.
It should be celebrating. You should be, hey, if you're not working, I feel like you shouldn't be partying.
Well, I think the issue is that a lot of people that are hardcore parties, they fill this hole with alcohol and drugs and things. And I think the truest way to fill that hole is to do something that you love and that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And when there's an absence of that in your life, you try to fill it with other things. And so when you party, you feel good.
Yeah.
You wake up the next day, you feel like shit. So what do you do again? You go out and party.
Yeah.
But the right thing to do would be to go and fill your life and fill that hole with things that you truly love, you know, whatever you're passionate about. And there's nothing wrong with partying, man. Fuck. I mean,
we're drinking right now.
Yeah. But don't let it take over your life, I'd say. Because I've been there several times in my life.
Yeah.
And it's hell.
Yeah.
And all it does is hold you back.
I've definitely struggled with substances in the past.
Right.
I can definitely attest. The hole that you're talking about, I agree. I think you get into what you love and you fill a hole. I think a lot of people don't even recognize they have that hole.
Because it's... I think the thing is, like, it's... I don't know, it's... I don't even remember what I was going
to
say.
I think it's, think it's, people like to do shit to fill that hole surface level wise, you know, and I don't think they know or realize that they're doing it. And this sounds, I mean, you were raised conservative Christian, it sounds like Christian shit, but I don't even mean it in some stupid religious, like, Christian way, like, nothing against religion or anything, but, like, it's... I think it's like self-love.
Yeah.
I think if you're not really doing something that gives you a reason to love yourself, then you're doing this shit, you know, to escape.
Right.
And you might not realize you're engaging in like escape-like behavior.
Escapism, right.
But after a while, after enough mornings waking up, like, oh my god, I don't even remember what the fuck I did. I did not want to check my bank account. My stomach hurts like shit. Where the fuck am I?
Right.
You're like, enough of this. Enough is enough, you know? And I think you get into, hopefully when that happens, you get into something you really fuck with.
Right. Yeah, I think, I remember what I was going to say is that, I think it's so easy to fill your hole with something like that because anybody can do it. Anybody can, you know, go out and buy bottles or anybody can, you know, purchase drugs. But it actually takes, you know, hard work and dedication and to actually pursue your goals and dreams, right? But anybody can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody.
Totally.
So I think that's why a lot of people fall into that. I feel for those people because I've been that person.
Yeah.
You know, I've struggled with that my whole life.
For sure.
You know, and I still struggle with it in some way or another.
Sure.
So I think everybody does. But
sure.
It's about, you know, building those new habits and filling your life with not only things that you're passionate about, but people that you love, you know, too.
Totally,
and
totally.
Keeping people that are bad for you at a distance.
Yeah, that's super good advice. It's a super good insight. I think along with the partying, it's you end up doing that shit all the time, and you end up with the same people. You always, you know, it's I think part of the filling the hole when you're going out and you're partying, it's about drinking, it's about drugs, but I think it's also about, it's like there's this social status game, you know, when you enter some like party crowd, it's like high school over again,
yeah,
and
it's
almost like popularity and shit, and
right.
People I think fill the hole with, I'm killing it, I'm downtown, I have the dopest
right.
outfit,
exactly.
I have everyone checking me out, all this shit, you know.
And as much as that feels nice, again, that's just, I feel like another instant gratification that just fills
it's
that hole.
Very temporary.
But at the end of the day, when you lay down in your bed, you know, with your fucking boxers on, you know, not wearing your fancy clothes, you know, and no one's around, are you happy with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And do you think there are people who, to that question you just asked,
mm-hmm.
Do you think there's people who say, yeah, when they're doing what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I've met a lot of people that really don't have an aim in life. And I've met, you know, most people I have met, you know, they're kind of torn up about it. And I think this generation, I think millennials are, you know, there's so much expectations for us. There's so many of us that are doing great things that I feel like a lot of millennials feel kind of lost because they haven't found what it is that they're passionate about in
mm-hmm.
their field. And I think there's a small percentage of people that I have met that are content with that, you know, but
yeah.
Those people aren't, you know. Yeah.
I feel like you gotta do something, you know,
yeah,
you can't just...
I back that 100%.
Yeah, there's too many people that are directionless and not looking
right.
to find a direction.
And it's sad, you know. I mean, I've always known, like, what I wanted to do, so I've never experienced that, but obviously, like, there's experienced doubt and things like that. Like, am I going to be able to do what it is I'm passionate about? But those doubts, you know, they pass. And
it's all part of it.
Yeah, it's all about habit. You know, you're never always going to be on top of your game 100%. You're never going to always be 100% confident. But it's about continuing to get back up and keep pushing because you're always going to fall.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Kyle, you were nodding and agreeing when he was saying he always knew what he wanted to do. Do you feel like you always wanted to be a musician? Or?
Oh, yeah, always. There's never been a point where I had any doubt in my mind about that.
That's awesome. When did you start playing music? Really young? Or?
Not really, actually. I started playing drums, I guess it's pretty young. It was when I was like 12. But I feel like there are a lot of people who start younger.
Yeah.
So I started on drums, and I took lessons for that. And then I switched to guitar because I thought it was cool when my dad played. When I was like 14, so just at the start of high school, and I feel like that's pretty late when people talk about guitar, but I feel like I've developed my skill on guitar pretty adequately and pretty quick for
you,
how long
was it
playing,
natural? Like, did you feel like you just picked it up and it just came?
Oh yeah, I didn't have any lessons for guitar. I just learned songs that I like off tabs online.
Yeah.
And took stuff from that.
Yeah.
Like chords that bands that I like use, or like scales or
yeah.
anything. I don't know much about theory, but...
Were you super into music before you got into drums, or did you just kind of
Yeah. Always been super into music.
Yeah.
For sure.
I was always super into music, and... I tried to fuck around, teach myself how to play guitar. I think I was, like, around the same age. I think I might have been 17, and didn't really do much with it. Didn't really come naturally to me. And then I got back into it recently. It's funny to me. some people, it's just, so, it really is, like, it takes them way, it takes some certain people way longer to learn how to play guitar versus other people. Something I found really easy for me was rapping. I always felt weird, though, because you don't want to be the white rapper guy, you know, so I've always struggled with trying to come up with a way to express myself in a way that's not something that I can look at myself in the mirror and be like, you fucking idiot, you know?
That's really cool, though, that's interesting.
It's fun, yeah. I wished guitar came naturally to me, though, to be completely honest, you know?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that clicked with me.
So. And then for you with vocals, do you feel like you were always a vocalist? Or
no, definitely not. I started playing guitar. I started playing when I was 13 or 14. And I was in like a couple bands when I was 14 or 15. We played like one or two shows.
Yeah.
And I always did like backup vocals, but it got to a point when I was 16, I remember there was a point in my life, I had an epiphany where I was like, I want to be a vocalist from now on, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous to sing in front of people, you know, because I'd never done it before.
Really?
Yeah, so it was something that I had to, I wanted it so bad that I forced myself to, I put myself in positions that made me uncomfortable continuously until I was comfortable with it. And it sucked, because nobody likes to be in an uncomfortable, embarrassing situation.
Sure.
But that's how bad I wanted to be a singer, so. And then pretty much from there out, I was only singing in bands. And I still play guitar, and I still write with the band always, but I prefer not to play on stage because I like having my hands free.
Sure, sure. To just get really into the vocals.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we had Daniel as our other guitarist, me and Matt were playing
guitar. Yeah, I was actually playing guitar in the band and I hated it. I wanted to find another guitar so bad.
Really?
Yeah, but I was sucking it up. I was like, you know, I already know the songs. Let's just do it.
Right.
And then, you know, we had found another guitar, so that was good.
How bad were those first times singing in front of people? Did you suck, or like, did it take you a while to start getting good?
I probably thought I was good. it's hard to say because I thought I was good. I thought I was good a couple of years ago, and then when I went and listened to a couple of recordings, I was like, "Jeez, is this me? Is this dreadful?"
Sure. And then it's always weird being the person listening back to your own shit, and you think it sucks, but there's somebody who's still like, "I like this."
I say now, and I like to think that I've only become a good singer in the past like year or two.
Mm.
But I'm sure maybe a couple of years from now, I'll listen back and be like, "What?"
I met you before I heard your music, and when I first heard, I think the first song I heard from you guys was "She Knows." Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing it and just genuinely feeling like surprised and shocked that that was your voice. I was like, holy fuck, like, that's good, you know? I don't know. It was just very, not that I was expecting it to be bad or anything.
Right.
It was just
most people are.
Most people, you know what, though? That is the fucking truth.
True. Whenever anybody says, oh, you're in a band, it's like,
okay.
I thought you guys
exactly.
Suck.
They're like, I guess
check
I'll
out my
check
shit.
Out.
And you're like, fucking fine, I'll check out your shit. Like,
well, I mean, I don't really push it like that.
Yeah,
but
I never.
If it comes up to people that we're in a band, then they'll look it up and later they'll like text us or whatever. And
they're
like, wow, I really didn't think that was what you were talking about.
Yeah,
I tried to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
For sure.
I tried to completely avoid telling people that I'm in a band.
Yeah, I
never
talk about
people
it.
People like that. Because listen, this one guy came up to me at a bar once, and he comes up to me and he says, "Hey man, do you like music?" And
first off, what a dumb question.
And I was fucking with him. I was like, "I don't know, man. Do you like sex?" He said, "No, actually." I was like, "All right, well, this guy's already pretty weird."
Yeah, fuck that guy.
And he hands me a card. He's like, "Oh, if you like music, here's my band, check it out. Here's a tip. If you're a musician, please don't get a business card."
Yeah.
It doesn't work and it's not cool.
Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Definitely don't do that.
Yeah, you know.
Don't be the guy at the bar walking up to strangers, asking them if they like music.
Yeah.
That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard.
And if you're watching this guy who said that to me, I'm sorry.
You're a fool on the
internet.
Did you check out his music ever?
No, I threw the card away immediately.
How old was he?
He was probably like mid-20s, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, to me, in my head, I'm imagining him like 55.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that story sounds like somebody who's just lost touch.
Yeah.
You know?
With
just
reality.
Fucking out of it, like walking up to 20-year-olds at the bar.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So, are you guys both from St. Pete?
He's from St. Pete.
I am born and raised.
Yeah.
I was born like an hour and a half north of here in a little town called Spring Hill.
Did
I'm a Florida boy. Yeah, what was that?
Was Spring Hill Lane?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Do you like St. Pete?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
I love St. Pete. I've moved around a lot my whole life, and I think this is the longest I've ever been anywhere in any city. That's how much I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I fucking love it, too. Well, I was born in Tampa, but raised here since I was, like, 7. Yeah, man, there's something special about St. Pete. We're not that big, but we have a certain aesthetic, you know? We have a certain style to us.
There's a lot of creatives, too.
There's a lot of creatives. You know what I find weird, and I'm trying to figure out the answer to? There's so many talented visual artists here.
Lots.
I don't know why. There's not as many musicians that are actually fucking talented as there are visual artists
here.
There's
so many good visual artists.
I don't know what it is. Like, do you guys have any explanation?
I think people move here because of... I don't know when it started, but I think people move here that are artists. And I think it's a great thing, but I think the downfall of that is that there's too many creators and not enough consumers.
Mm.
I think St. Pete is a great place to be an artist and kind of hone your craft.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a good place to try to make a career from art.
I agree 100%.
And personally, me too, like, as much as I love St. Pete, I'd like to move somewhere a little bit bigger. You know, I've been in St. Pete for a while and I've seen everything, been everywhere. I love it. This will always be my home.
Sure.
100%. But I think I'm ready to move somewhere bigger.
Feel like,
try that out, you know?
Don't you feel like the next step, as you grow,
mm-hmm.
your following and your talent, somewhere like New York, somewhere like LA?
Right, of course.
About.
Yeah.
You guys have talked about moving to New York
for
or
sure.
LA.
Yeah.
Where do you guys stand on that?
It hasn't really been too serious of a talk. It's not something that we've actually like sat down about and discussed like that.
Yeah.
It's been floating around.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been floating around.
Sure.
I think even if, you know, a couple of us or even me just decided to move, I think the band would still be alright. I don't think we need to be in the same place. I mean, with, you know, the internet and the way things
are,
you know, sending tracks back and forth or, you know, flying back, you know,
yeah.
a couple of months or whatever. I don't think that'll have any hindrance on.
Really? You guys think it would be... You don't think it would sort of put a little kink in the recording process or anything?
I don't think so. I think some of us in the band are a little
more
set and are, you know, have our roots growing a little bit more here than you know, some of us do.
Sure, sure.
I don't think it would hinder the process at all, you know. We don't all, like, you know, all right, we're going to the studio. We don't gather all 5 of us every time
sure,
we sit there.
Sure, sure.
You know, a lot of times it'll just be me and Kyle or, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't think it would be devastating to the band.
Yeah, New York or LA? Which one would you prefer if you
LA
had your choice?
Sure.
LA.
Yeah, if you asked me a couple years ago, I'd say New York. But
why? Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think I don't know.
Have you been to either place?
No,
I mean neither.
I haven't.
You've been to both.
He's been around everywhere.
What do you say, New York or LA?
For music, I'd say LA, but I like New York better as a city.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Why? Like,
I don't know, just something about it. Honestly, I couldn't tell you exactly what it is. LA, I don't know. When I went to LA, I was surprised that I didn't like it as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
But I think it would definitely be a good choice for connections and stuff.
Yeah.
More so over New York.
Yeah.
But I like the feeling of New York.
LA for connections if you're a musician, or LA for connections,
right.
period?
Well, for us, yeah, musicians, but
yeah.
period, probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a big hub of, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Talks about it.
I went to New York when I was, like, 9 years old or some shit, like, really young, so I don't have much of a memory of it. But I remember even then, and, of course, just, like, the stereotype of it, there's just too much activity. I think St. Pete isn't a small, small town. But it's no fucking New York City.
Oh, of course
not. I don't think I would be able to, man. I don't think I'd be able to. With all the energy, all the, like, anger, the quick
right.
lifestyle. I think growing up in a beach town, I think I would have to go LA
yeah,
as well.
That makes sense.
But I've never been. I'm talking out of my head.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think even, you know, St. Pete and Tampa, you can compare them to small versions of LA, St. Pete, Tampa, New York.
Mm.
I hate Tampa.
Dude, I can't do
Tampa.
I fucking...
It's incredible the difference between Tampa and
how
Tampa.
Different
it is
the cities are.
Ridiculous.
It is. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't stand Tampa.
Do you think that... When I... On my internet online presence for the blog, I talk if I'm trying to get somebody into like where I'm from, I say I'm from the Tampa area.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
Do you guys think people know where St. Petersburg
is? Actually, surprisingly, I think honestly, a lot of people know where St. Petersburg is. Like, I've talked to people in other countries.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah,
people in other countries.
Yeah, that are familiar with St. Pete. I think Tampa obviously is a little bit more, you know, universal.
Yeah.
But they're so close. I think I could be wrong, but I thought I read somewhere that it's the shortest distance between two major metropolitan areas in the state, maybe in the country. I'm not sure.
We're
because
pretty fucking close.
Only 20 miles apart, and they're two large metro areas.
Yeah, when you add in Clearwater, Largo area,
right.
to I feel like that tends to get clumped in with
yeah.
St. Pete.
There's a lot of people here.
There's a fuckload of people here, and you grew up here. Like, it's blown the fuck up. The past 10 years or so, it's. Remember downtown St. Pete in like 2004?
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's a completely different place, man. I feel like it's. I don't like the traffic. I don't like how much it's grown. That like hipster part of me was like, I liked it before it was cool, you know?
Right.
At the same time, I do like to see it grow and see it like become its own little thing.
I do too.
People fucking
like
flock.
Change.
People flock here. It's cool. I dig that arm sleeve, by the way. Matt, you have a good amount of
tattoos.
Yeah. I remember the first night I met you was at a Kava bar. And I remember complimenting your finger tattoos.
Right.
And you were like, I fucking hate those tattoos. There's something along those lines. I was like, what, dude, why?
Yeah.
When did you get those? What, go into that. I'm very...
Yeah. You see, like, I got all my tattoos, like, in a pretty short period. And I think I was, like, 18 and thought it was cool and gonna get, you know, a bunch of tattoos. But I got them all done by, you know, friends. And,
sure.
Yeah, I think I got these on my 22nd birthday. I was really drunk. And I was like, fuck it, you know?
You regret them or no?
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
A little bit?
A little bit, maybe.
Do you want more? Do you want to get, like, a bunch of dope tattoos to balance out the ones you dislike?
I think the next tattoos I'm going to get would be to cover up my arm. And I do want tattoos. I don't anymore, like, I want it to be, I don't want to be, I don't think I want to be, like, sleeved up or anything.
Sure.
I want to get, like, tattoos, you know? Very sparsely, you know, scattered in different areas, you know.
Sure.
Maybe another one on my calf eventually, maybe one, like, you know, like on my neck or something.
Sure.
But, you know, very few in between. It'd be a special event. Not like a race, you know, not as many tattoos as possible.
Right.
Like Kyle. No, I'm just kidding. His tattoos are actually really nice.
Thank
he
you.
Has the best tattoos in the band for sure.
They're definitely
yeah.
pretty badass. How much, I want both you guys to answer this question.
Okay.
How much meaning do you put into the ideas of your tattoos?
Absolutely none.
Not a whole lot.
But really, both of you, you guys are just like, yeah, that looks dope. I'm going to put it on my body.
My whole arm sleeve is the Evil Dead in the movie.
Yeah? Just, are you a big fan of the movie or are you just
I am, but
yeah.
It's not like, there's no like sentimental meaning to it.
You didn't like lose your virginity to the Evil Dead.
No, I just like horror movies. And, like,
I lost my virginity.
That's one of the first ones.
The other one.
It's just one of the first ones I got into, and then I Alien. My whole right leg sleeve is Alien.
Alien? What do you mean? Oh, like the
movie
Alien.
I think what's funny is when I first met them, I had like the most tattoos because nobody had any, and now I have like less tattoos.
I didn't get my first tattoo until I was 19.
I've always feel weird about when people talk about. Oh, I have 7 tattoos, or I have 6. Like, I know people that say they have 5 tattoos, but they have, like, a little fucking thing here and a little thing here.
Right.
Where, like, you have a... That could be considered one tattoo. Your entire fucking
arm. Yeah, because how would you divide that up? It'd be tedious.
I don't know. So, yeah, whenever somebody's like, well, how many tattoos do you have? I'm like,
I just have tattoos.
Yeah, I have, you know, 2 sleeves, and I have some random ones every here and there.
Sure.
So.
They're expensive as hell.
Yeah.
So I have a good... I got mine, like, same age range as you, but my thoughts when I got them were, I'm just really afraid to not get... I don't... Like, in my head, I wanted to do some cool shit where it wouldn't matter if I had tattoos or not, but I was just, like, 18. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to be like when I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I'm going to get them all in places that are hidden. And I spent so much fucking money on all of them, and they're all, like, underneath my shirt and under my pants and shit. But when people would ask me, like, oh, how bad do tattoos hurt? My response is always, It hurts the wallet way more than the skin.
That's
true. They're so fucking expensive.
They are.
I have tattoos planned out.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get something. I want to finish this and get something here and get knuckles.
Yeah,
and
I think you can. Here's the difference. Tattoos that are, you know, paid for and tattoos that aren't paid for.
Yeah.
Free tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah, that's the difference, you know.
What do you got going on there? Is that a bat?
That's just my cat bat.
It's a cat bat.
They
it's
call
a
it,
cat
they,
bat.
It looks like a cat.
It's supposed to be a bat, but people call it my cat bat because the face, it looks like a cat.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
That
awesome.
Is definitely...
I was going to shout out...
I love
out,
it. I would not get that.
Shout out the tattoo artist. He's actually really good now. He was an apprentice when he did this, but I don't want to embarrass him.
Yeah, we don't want to shit talk.
Shout out his name now.
Okay. Well, it's just, you know, it's a beautiful cat bat. No disrespect to the artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to take a glass of this red wine. Am I a dick if I do that?
No, go. No,
actually,
no,
you know what? Let's see how much this... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
so
we had a second glass.
Cheers.
Yeah,
cheers
to that.
Yeah, thank you guys again for coming
yeah,
on.
Thank you
for
having
me. Coming
you.
On, man. You guys
yeah,
came here after the studio session?
Mm-hmm. I was at the studio.
And Kyle, you
were
there
work.
Too?
He was at work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where do you work?
I work at Starbucks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Shit to pay the bills.
Yeah. It's a nice, flexible job.
Yeah. You feeling like there is a serious potential for the band to turn into income that is good enough to... not work at Starbucks, to not do...
For sure.
That's the goal.
Yeah, and you want to have that mindset, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong if, you know, people want to play music just to have fun and all that. I mean, of course, it's fun. It's what we love to do.
Right.
But why wouldn't you want to turn something that you love and enjoy doing into a lifestyle and a source of income, too? So, yeah, of course, that's the goal. It kind of always has been heading towards that.
Sure.
So...
And are you guys currently signed to any record or to any label or?
Nope, we're completely independent, 100%.
Yeah. So do you want to stay that way, or if the price is right?
I think we have turned down label offers before because and we really considered it because, money's nice.
Money's nice.
I think it wasn't the right. I think it wasn't the right time. It definitely wasn't the right time.
Right.
And. You know, I think that was the most important aspect of it is that I just think we weren't ready. We didn't think that we were ready yet for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we are ready for a label, we'll be more open to that.
For
but
sure.
Right now, you know, it's not that we don't have self-worth. Like, we know what we're worth, but we know that we're still building ourselves
mm-hmm.
and that we're not to the point where we want to be yet, where we're like, okay, this, you know what I'm saying, we're ready now.
Right.
And maybe when this next music comes out, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
But I just think it wasn't the right time yet.
Totally.
So.
Totally. If you... Say you want to make music and not be part of a record label, where do you think that money comes from nowadays? The reason why I ask is I think more and more about how streaming is
right.
taking so much of the money that musicians could be
right.
getting.
Right, right. So
that's fair.
But it's a good, see, for me, like, my view on that is, you know, we're all consumers of music, and, you know, I don't want to be one of those, you know, old, you know, fucking hair metal dudes that are like, oh, fuck streaming,
yeah.
you know, thinking money, because now they have to tour in their 40s and 50s to make a living.
Right.
But,
yeah.
dude, that's, you know, that's how things are, that's how I listen to music,
to
yeah.
I don't buy albums.
We,
you know?
We stream all the
yeah,
time.
So yeah, so do I, so do
Spotify.
I.
And
it's the fucking time.
So what do I have to say about that? Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
thought on it is that's the industry, the way the industry is. That's the way the world
yeah.
is now.
You gotta play
okay,
the
I'm
rules.
Not gonna complain.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna say
you
come.
Go
I'm not gonna
and
say
find
come,
other
no.
ways to make that money.
Spend
totally.
A dollar and 29 cents on one of our songs on iTunes. Go listen to it on fucking Spotify.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. And then so what? Merch sales, ticket sales. Is that
merch
what you're
is a big part of it now?
Yeah.
yeah. And touring, I think, is a big source of income for most bands, and we haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like you're almost there?
Yeah.
We're getting there.
I think so. I think, you know,
yeah,
I think...
We're putting our music first.
Yeah. We're putting the music first because we know that we weren't where we wanted to be with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, ultimately, as a musician and an artist, that's the most important thing.
Totally, totally.
We could have done that. We could have taken the touring route and put the music on hold, the recording on hold. But we didn't want to milk the EP for all it had and say, you know, okay, this is good that we put out. Let's just be complacent now, you know. We
yeah.
want to keep kind of... pushing our
sure
our,
no that's definitely the winner attitude, you know. That's definitely the, it sounds like that's the difference between the fucking bands who make it and the bands that don't, you know, to not settle and feel, oh, we fucking made it, look at we
right.
did. Instead, right. no, let's keep pushing, let's keep grinding, let's see what else can come from this.
Right.
I think that's badass.
Also, you can't be disappointed when it doesn't work out the way that you want
right.
it to. Like, a lot of people will put out something and they'll think it's amazing, and I'm sure it is amazing, but the reception won't be as well as they had hoped.
Yeah.
So
they beat
just
themselves
like,
up.
Exactly. They'll just kind of like give up. So you kind of have to go into it with like not as big of expectations as
right.
you think.
Mm-hmm.
So like we always look into it as like, oh, we're putting music out. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
If people don't like it, then we'll switch it up. Or,
but it's how
or
much
whatever.
Music do you guys record that you don't put out?
None
oh, yeah.
yet. I mean, it's frustrating because I think...
A lot of stuff at home
yeah,
that I do by myself.
Yeah, he has a lot of stuff. I have, you know, probably about 100 songs. As a
sure.
band, we have songs. And it's frustrating because it's like, okay, well, which ones do we want to record?
Sure.
Because we can't do all of them.
Sure.
And I think that's frustrating because for me, there's even a lot of songs that were throwaways on the EP that could have been on the EP.
Mm-hmm.
The EP really could have been an album.
Yeah.
We had enough songs for one or two albums for the EP. So having to choose between five... was hard, and those are songs that we're probably never going to use again because that, you know, we've evolved.
That time
that
is over,
and it sucks, you know, because as an artist, you have an attachment.
Sure,
and
it's like you can.
And
I can see you
yeah.
driving yourself nuts over. Fuck! What if we
I
did
do,
this
yeah.
song and that song was the one? What if that was
yeah.
the one and we?
I don't
it
think
away?
It's as much that, you know. I don't think I have that much doubt in the choices that we've made.
Mm.
I think I'm confident in the choices that we have made and the songs
yeah.
that we chose.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want to, you know, get too deep into. The rabbit hole.
That's definitely a dark rabbit hole to enter.
Yeah, you know, it just sucks because as like an artist, you know, you want people to hear these songs, and I know that there's a lot of songs that probably never anybody will ever hear.
Sure.
Which sucks, but you know, then again, it's like, you know, you just keep making better music and you keep evolving and evolving as a songwriter and getting better. So it's like, you know, okay, well, I'm just gonna make a better song that people are gonna hear. So what does it matter?
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, I like that attitude, man. And it's definitely working so far, man. I've noticed progression in your guys' music, sincerely, you know. It's exciting. It's exciting to see. I stand searching. I stand searching. My roommate is the video editor of this whole thing, and he's super awesome, so definitely shout out to him. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not part of the post-editing process. Regardless,
this will be leaked one day, the whole video.
The whole video will be out, and we'll be living free like Matt's tattoos say.
Yeah.
There you go.
What was the intention behind that? I love it. I love
yeah.
that phrase, live free.
I don't know. I think for some reason, maybe about like age 12 or 13, I always thought, hey man, it'd be cool to get live free tattooed on my knuckles. And the drunk 22-year-old me, I think, was like, you know, must have connected with
12-year-old
me.
Yeah.
Some kind of paradoxical telepathic event or something.
Yeah.
And so I
feel like drunk anyone, you just kind of end up 13-year-old you a little
yeah,
bit. 13-year-old
yeah.
you kind of just comes out when
yeah,
you're drunk.
Right.
It's kind of how
yeah.
it works. Have you guys heard the comparisons of like when you're drunk, you're just... Like babies are like drunk people.
No, oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
100% true.
Totally,
I agree with that statement.
It's totally how it is.
Yeah.
Can I have another hit of the,
yeah,
the jewel?
Yeah, just sleep and so to speak.
Yeah, I'm on my podcast in my house having guests, and I'm taking their jewel.
It's not as cool as you know, like smoking cigarettes. I was talking about this with someone the other day. It's like you know, you read a great like novel, like maybe like a Scott Fitzgerald novel or something. And it's you know, the smoke floated languidly through the air as, you know, whatever. You know, you can't do that now with vaping. It's like,
yeah.
Devin took a hit of his vape. He vaped a huge cloud.
Massive.
You know?
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
sound as right. It doesn't look cool either.
With his gauges and his da-da-da-da-da.
You see those pictures of, like, Cole Sprouse on the internet smoking a cigarette, which I don't actually think he smoked. I think he's doing it for aesthetic purposes.
Yeah.
But you can't look cool while, you know, smoking any kind of...
Cigarettes definitely have an aesthetic to them, but the thing is, whenever you see them in the music video or the movie, it's never...
Yeah.
In real life... They're just a little grosser.
Watch Mad Men. You're going to want to smoke cigarettes. Like, you're going to want to take it on as a career.
I've
like
never...
Yeah.
A career. Professional
yeah,
cigarette
professional
smoker.
Professional cigarette smoker.
I've never yeah. seen that show, but I've heard so
yeah.
much bullshit about
I've
it.
Seen it either.
It's crazy as fuck, too. I don't know how long we went in American society doing this, but I know for a while, people didn't know cigarettes were bad for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's true. I think it wasn't until the 1950s that they had to put the Surgeon General's label on cigarettes. I think before then, yeah, people started smoking at, like, age 12 in the 1920s, you know?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Everybody was just buzzed walking around.
Yeah, yep, that's true. Yeah.
My little brother always makes the comment of what he thinks is going on now, and I don't think he's wrong. There's so many, like, 40 to 70-year-old middle-class white women.
Uh-huh.
I mean, white men, too.
Yeah.
But walking around... Just on painkillers.
Yeah.
In public, driving their cars, going to Starbucks. Yeah, everyone's
sure.
on fucking... They're either on Xanax or they're on painkillers.
Yep.
It's a fuckload of people.
Yep.
It's crazy. And it's... You know, it's we say it's fucked up to abuse them and it's fucked up to get them not from the doctor. And you don't want to be abusing drugs. Obviously, you don't want to be unhealthily abusing drugs. But... I'm of the belief that just because a doctor is prescribing you something doesn't mean it's totally fine to just, you know, dive into it. And I think
there's definitely an issue.
We may have some oversubscription or overprescription going on.
Yeah.
Adderall, too. There's Adderall all the fuck over the place. Have you guys recreationally used it / have you had it prescribed before?
I have been prescribed medication.
You have or have
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I have.
Adderall?
Yeah, no, not Adderall. Xanax and things like that.
Yeah. Did you find it was addictive, hard to get off, or did you find it was... If this is too personal, you know, you don't have to answer. I'd like to just dive
yeah.
the fuck in.
No, I think for me especially, I have a really addictive personality, so I think for me I have issues with things like that.
Sure.
I try to stay away from medication.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was the one... I'm just going to... come out and say I've done a pretty good amount of drugs. I'm pretty experienced in the world of drugs, and I used to think I didn't have an addictive personality, and I sort of slowly realized that in the past I've had, it wasn't ever a certain substance I was addicted to.
Right.
I was just either I was like overly caffeinated and then drinking at night, or I was smoking weed during
right.
high school, or there was never one substance that was really, like, got me, but that changed. It wasn't really that long ago. I was, like, 22, and Xanax was the thing. I didn't get it prescribed. I just had a really
right.
a nice hookup, and it ended up being a problem. And I was like, holy fuck. I just was, like, waking up one day and being, like, just realizing it, waking up from it. Like, okay, I'm not just having fun. I'm not just, like, fucking around. This is, like, a problem. And I don't know, I had to wean myself off, and it was really rough. I feel like a lot of people are going through that right now. Xanax, lean, painkillers, and I don't know. I think those are serious, serious problems. Adderall, I don't know. Does Adderall have harsh withdrawals? Do you guys know?
I have no clue. I don't know much about it.
But I know Xanax, if you're hooked on them, it's fucking hard to get off of, man. The shit is brutal, and it's way too common right now. Did you guys hear about Lil Xan, how he wants to change his name?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear that, but I didn't know that he was anti-Xanax, which I find ironic, but I actually like his music, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some songs I really fuck with from him. Do you guys know him that well in terms of watching his YouTube shit? Like,
yeah, I follow him on social media.
I know nothing about him.
You know nothing about him. Are you into hip-hop at all, or?
Not really.
Yeah.
I know my fair share, but I don't seek it.
Yeah, I feel like Lil Xan is a good dude, man. He seems to have his...
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these SoundCloud rappers get a bad rep, but...
Yeah, I agree. SoundCloud rapper is such a horrible little stereotype we have right now. I think it's a little deserved, though. There's so many shitty rappers. I think there's way more shitty rappers than there are shitty bands or shitty singer-songwriters.
Right. Yeah, of course, because it's a bigger genre and there's more people. Everybody thinks they can rap, you know.
It's true. Everybody thinks they can rap right now.
It's also more accessible.
It's more accessible, right? It doesn't,
it doesn't cost a lot as like a hobby.
And you don't have to spend a lot of time learning the instrumentation,
exactly,
learning
yeah,
how
right.
something works, you know.
You don't have to acquire like instruments or any of that.
Yeah. I don't know though. I feel like it gives sort of a bad rep to people who just naturally are talented rappers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that whole thing. And rap being a genre versus now it's just something that's like all across the board. You hear rap in EDM, you hear rap in like Fall Out Boy will have rap features, you know.
Right.
I don't know if calling rap a genre is a good move anymore versus just sort of like its own little style to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that makes a lot of sense.
Like there's rapping in ska music,
right.
There's rapping and shit like that. I feel like you enter a little bit in your newer stuff, if you're comfortable with me exposing this, like a little bit of like rapping going on.
Maybe. I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah. I don't know. It's cool shit. I would definitely recommend checking out Cigarette Blonde's new stuff. So I think I want to bring this to an end. Sorry that there's flies flying around.
No, man. Flies are great.
What I want you guys to do before we end this, though, is to anybody who is watching this or listening and wants to be a musician, or not even a musician, any passion they have that they want to follow, that they want to make their career or their life goal, but are too afraid right now or
right.
aren't taking the right steps, what advice would you give to them?
I would say I think fear is something that everybody deals with, and I think it's the biggest, it's the number one, it's the catalyst for not achieving what you want in life. And I think fear, you should let that fear push you instead of hold you back.
Mm.
It's never going to be easy, you know. Don't let perfectionism hinder you from accomplishing your goals, because that word perfectionist, I hate it. Because I've been a perfectionist before, and all that word means is that you're a procrastinator. You're waiting for the right moment.
Mm.
You know, that right moment's never going to come. Instead of, you know, bulking up all this information and saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do, instead of doing that and not taking action, just use the resources and tools you have now.
Yeah.
Do it and learn as you go, because I'm telling you, 1 year of actually doing what you say you're going to do and 4 years of just, you know, thinking about it, it's incomparable.
Yeah.
You know, you get way more experience from that year of doing and failing.
Yeah.
Because people are afraid to fail, but you have to fail. That's the only way that you can grow and learn more. So don't be afraid of failure. Embrace it, because I get excited sometimes when I fail, because it's like I know how much better I'm going to be next time, you know?
Right.
It's exciting because you know you're evolving when you fail, because you're going to, you know.
That's played a big role in us as musicians, like
right.
Just evolving into our new bands and our new styles, and we've tried a lot of different things, and it just keeps, each time that we try something new, it gets a lot better response than the previous thing that we've done.
Fuck yeah.
So we're trying to keep that going.
Totally, totally. Don't run away from fear. Use it as fuel.
Right.
That's good fucking advice. Guys, thank you so much for coming through. I had
thank
a good
you.
Time.
You.
It was
yeah,
nice.
Appreciate it.
Nice chilling, nice drinking.
Yeah.
And thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.